Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
This is a special NFL Draft Edition of The Boss.
The Boss himself, and I don't mean Springsteen.
In the gloss. Check out my lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Look for the silver can in stores or visit freealloil.com.
Live from Las Vegas, here's David Gal
and Carla Dawson.
Viva!
Welcome back. We are indeed in Las Vegas, the center of the universe for the NFL. Last night, opening night of the NFL draft, round one. We'll get to rounds two and three this evening. And Las Vegas, an electric atmosphere. Great city to host this draft. But I will say, a point you've made before is that when the NFL draft descended upon Nashville, and it was such a big event in a small community like Nashville, you couldn't miss the draft. I mean, it was as if the draft took over the whole city.
The streets were filled. I mean, you could barely walk. It was
so fun. With everyone wearing their jerseys, right? It was all about the draft. Here, Las Vegas is such a big thing, has so much going on otherwise. It doesn't feel like the draft has taken over this city. To be sure, there are lots of people out on the streets, but there are always lots of people out on the streets in Las Vegas. The draft's impact on this city just doesn't feel as overwhelming or as exciting as it did in Nashville.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, the other thing is, too, like the draft is being held at Bellagio, at the Bellagio. We're staying a couple hotels down the street. Well, it looks like it's close. Like you just walk. It's your next door neighbor hotel is about a half a mile because the scale of these hotels are massive. I mean, everything is massive. So it's just you don't have any perspective.
Yeah, the hotels have a big footprint. And then, of course, to get anywhere to go down the street, you've got to do those
crossovers,
skywalks, and go upstairs and downstairs. And so, yes, getting around Vegas is...
Bring your walking shoes.
Yeah, you got to wear your walking shoes. None of those beautiful, stunning high heels that you normally wear. You just have to wear the normal shoes.
That's a solid no-go in Las Vegas. That's right.
And I'm sorry to hear it, but so is mankind in general. Everybody is.
Oh, but there's plenty of those ladies with feathers coming out of their head that wear their high heels. So.
Yes, indeed there
are. There's no shortage of that here.
All right, when we come back, you remember Super Agent Lee Steinberg of Steinberg Sports. He has been an agent to many, many, many top NFL players and usually the number one overall quarterback back in the 70s with Aikman and Warren Moon. He had Patrick Mahomes as his client. We're going to talk to Lee Steinberg. When we return, we're going to ask him about the business of football and what's going down behind the scenes here at the NFL Draft. That up next on the SportsMap Radio Network.
It's a special NFL draft edition of The Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Look for the silver can in stores or visit freealloil.com.
Now, live from Las Vegas, here's David Gal.
And Carla Dawson.
This segment of The Boss and the Gloss on SportsMap Radio is brought to you by our friends at Steel. The Steel battery product line features three tiers of performance, so you can find the right family of products for your needs. That's Steel, and go find the Steel battery product. Okay, we're going to talk to Lee Steinberg in a minute, and I'm excited to visit with him because one of the challenges I see in the business of the NFL is the rise of the star athlete and the athlete's ability to most manipulate outcomes. When we look at someone like Deebo Samuel, Deebo signed his rookie agreement, and everybody knows that the rookie agreement is a four-year deal. Deebo was drafted in the second round, so it's a four-year deal. Well, he's now at the point where he's saying he didn't want to show up unless he gets a new deal. Well, what's happened here? He's performed very, very well, and he's seen other receivers get huge contracts. And so he's saying, I don't want to wait another year till my rookie deal ends to get my big payday. I want the payday now. And he's intruding on this realm. So we'll have to get Lee's input on that. In fact, now he is joining us. It's from the Progressive Insurance Guest Line, Super Agent Lee Steinberg of Steinberg Sports. Lee, thank you for joining us. You're on with David and Carla.
Hello, it's my pleasure.
So let's begin with your clients. You've got a portfolio of guys coming into this draft. Who are you excited about? What do you anticipate over the next day or two?
I think we'll have a group of players drafted tonight. And one is Cameron Thomas from San Diego State, who's a great edge rusher. Another is a player, Sean Ryan from UCLA. And this is always my favorite days of the year. It's the fruition of all the hopes and dreams and hard work and everything, and the tension ratchets up. Draft time is not real time. When you're waiting for the pick, it feels like water torture time. Every second seems like a minute. Every minute seems like an hour, and it's drip, drip, drip. But then all of a sudden the pick comes, and there's joy and ecstasy, because usually the player's surrounded by every person who was part of the journey.
Yeah, I can imagine the excitement in the room for some of these players. And you have been an agent to so many of the biggest names through NFL history. I love to tell the story of being at Radio Row at the Super Bowl back in Houston when you were walking the halls bringing by a quarterback named Patrick Mahomes. And when you were walking down, I'd been looking at a lot of mock drafts, and he was slated at that point in the mock drafts to go in the third round. And when you walked up with him, he wasn't physically that impressive. He wasn't a big guy. He wasn't like a Ryan Leaf, a big presence, or a Sean Salisbury. He was Patrick Mahomes. And you came down and you said, this guy's going to be, before the process is done, this guy's going to be a first-round pick. And I don't know that I believed you at that moment, but you sure proved to be. You won.
Well, that's a lot of honesty you're getting, Lee. There you go.
The reason I have to be credible is that I can't just be a PR person. I've got to maintain credibility, so I'd never tell you anything that I didn't actually think was going to happen.
Yeah. Well, you were right, and now he's not only been a number one pick, but he has been perhaps the best player in the NFL and a great, obviously has a great relationship with you. I want to ask about the business of the NFL, though. This has been something that's bothering me because we're seeing this increasingly. Someone like Adebo Samuel, whose contract is not expired, but has played very, very well and is now expressing dissatisfaction, saying he's disrespected, waving his hands in the air saying, I need a new contract now. I don't want to wait until the agreement's over to get my big payday.
He's actually saying, I want to be traded.
Oh, now, yeah, or trade me. But that's
and John Lynch is saying, I don't think so.
But I think the signal, I want to be traded, means I want to get paid, right? It's one or the other. So you must have clients who have been in this situation, or if you had a Deebo Samuel, what would you say to somebody? They signed a contract, but they're trying to get more money before the contract's over.
First of all, it would depend whether or not the contract was guaranteed, because a contract that's guaranteed has risk on the part of a team, where if the player underperforms, they're still stuck with the contract. So there's a certain obligation to play that through. If the contract's not guaranteed, that is slightly different. But let me just say that a player that wants to redo a contract, the worst way to get that done is ever to talk publicly about it, because then you're putting a team up against the wall and forcing a confrontation. If you want to be traded or you want a new contract, say nothing. And talk quietly behind the scenes with management, and it may be in their interest to give you a new contract. It may have benefits for them, but you can't create a confrontational situation and expect a great result.
I mean, that's true of lots of walks in life, right? And yet the first instinct of a lot of these athletes is to go out to social media and express dissatisfaction, right?
Lee, let me ask you this. Yep. No, go ahead. Go finish up.
Well, I was just going to say that it's a whole law of unintended consequences, because what happens is that when you do that thing publicly, you put your incumbent team into a really difficult position, even if they want to trade you, because the other teams in the league know that they have damaged goods and that they may not be able to sustain a relationship with the player. So they offer very little. What you want, if you want to be traded, is for your incumbent team to get a great offer from somebody else. And they can't do it if there's intimations of discontent. Maybe they'll have to end up waiving the player, or they'll have to do something. So there's much more flexibility. So you think by asking to get traded, that may have an effect, but it may have the opposite effect of making the team more obstinate and making you untradeable.
Hmm.
That's a great point. We're talking with Lee Steinberg, CEO of Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment, also a best-selling author. Lee, let me ask you this. Aaron Rodgers says today or yesterday he was, quote, surprised by the Devontae Adams trade. Lamar Jackson showing some disappointment today that they traded away Brown, his receiver. And Deshaun Watson very upset in Houston that he didn't know when he was with Houston that DeAndre Hopkins was traded. He found out during social media. Same with when they hired a head coach David Culley at the time and GM Nick Caserio. What does a team owe to these players, especially when it's your franchise signal caller? And in these examples, all three are. How does that dynamic work?
The dynamic is that if you're that type of player, you have instant ability to interact with a general manager, a president, even an owner, and tell them exactly what's on your mind, but don't do it publicly. So that, I'll give an example. Every year with Troy Aikman and Jerry Jones, we would have a meeting with Jerry Jones, and we'd sit and talk about, or Steve Young in the 49ers. You would sit and have a meeting with general manager and say, here are players and needs we think need to be solved, boom, boom, boom. And they ought to welcome that input, but not when you're doing it publicly and criticizing them.
No, I mean, that
makes sense.
Lamar Jackson last night couldn't resist, right? Marquise Brown is gone. He immediately goes to Twitter. WTF. Just an amazing dynamic.
Well, Aaron Rodgers has been very public about everything he's feeling.
Well, and look, I mean, first of all, do you think fans are going to be hugely empathetic with someone who makes $40 million a year? Right?
Amen.
So the point is you can have any discussions you want with a player and a team as long as it ought to be, in the general manager's office. And then you make any comment you want to in the world. Why? I don't want you to trade this player. You shouldn't ever give up this. I need more tools. All those things are fine. As a matter of fact, in a healthy franchise, that type of interplay is encouraged. But the minute it breaks out publicly, it becomes confrontational. And when that happens, the other side has a need to defend themselves, and all of a sudden, you know what it's like? It's like a text war where one party texts the other something they think is funny, but the second party takes offense. And then the second party comes back and says, oh, yeah, and boom. And now all of a sudden it goes back and forth. There was nothing wrong with the relationship in the first place, but it got spiraled out of control. And when you put a team against the wall, they're going to defend themselves, and all of a sudden you've created tension and conflict where there wasn't.
Yep. That's a very good representation of what we've been witnessing.
And not only in sports, but just all over. Yeah. It's great, great advice.
All right. He's Lee Steinberg of Steinberg Sports and Entertainment, and they've got some great players coming out in this NFL draft. Lee, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your taking the time.
It's been my pleasure.
All right, when we come back, we're going to have Lance Zierlein of NFL.com, and he has done a mock draft of rounds 2 and 3. We will hear from Lance Zierlein up next here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to an NFL draft edition of The Boss
and The Boss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Look for the Silver Cannon stores or visit freealloil.com.
Live from Las Vegas, here's David Gal
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, Sports Map Radio, and we are joined now on a Progressive Insurance guest line by Lance Zierlein, draft expert for NFL.com and show host in Houston, Texas on KFNC Radio 97.5 and 92.5 FM. Lance, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Well, we're good. I know you've had a busy 24 hours, so we really appreciate you joining us. Walk us through. After the draft last night, then you had to hole up and do rounds 2 and 3, mock drafts. What did your evening look like?
Well, after the draft was over, remember, I'm Pacific time here in L.A., so after the draft, I had a 1 hour. At the end of the draft, I was in a voiceover booth giving commentary on the draft. As soon as it was over, I ran downstairs, got in a Studio 5, and we did a 1 hour post-draft show. So by the time that was over, it was 11:48 Central Time. And so then I started my round 2 and round 3 mock for NFL.com that I have to have turned in that night. I started that at about 12:15, and finished it. Finished it at about 3:10. Got into my hotel bed at about, that was at NFL Network. I got into my hotel room bed at about Central Time, 3:40 in the morning, and then the wake up call came at 6:20 a.m. Central Time. So it's been a but it's that way every year. That's just kind of the Thursday night setup. So that's just the way it is every Thursday on night one of the draft.
So you're feeling fresh right now. I can just
man,
you sound good.
At least I took a shower. You know, at least I got a shower. I'm feeling good. Relatively speaking, I actually saw the sun today, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
So it was, it's been a win so far, and I'm going back in to do it all over again here in about an hour.
My gosh. Well, we're so grateful you fit us in, Lance. And before we jump into rounds 2 and 3, I'm dying to get your take specifically on the Texans' moves last night. They seemed like safe picks to me. Tell me more. I want to know your intel.
Yeah, so it kind of popped up on my radar a couple weeks ago that the Texans were doing a bunch of work on Stingley. I have a source at LSU that said, look, the Texans are sending their biggest hitters to take a look at Stingley. They're really doing background work. They want to know about the player. They want to know about the person. They want to know, you know, what happened over the last 2 years. They want to know about the injuries. They want to know about the personality. And I was told they were doing a lot of work. And the same source told me a couple days later that the Texans had spent another hour with Derek Stingley. And so, here's what I would say. I think Derek Stingley in 2019 for LSU, when he was a freshman on that incredible LSU team,
wow,
he was absolutely outstanding. Now, unfortunately, in 20, he played 7 games during the pandemic season. He had an injury. And then in 2021, he played 3 games before suffering an injury. There was some thoughts about it being injury versus just kind of putting on cruise control and trying not to get hurt. And that has happened before when guys want to go to the league. And I'm sure it's a bit anticlimactic to go from that undefeated national championship season with Joe Burrow winning the Heisman Trophy to what LSU had in 2020 and then 2021. But that's the problem, is this guy has height, weight, speed, a lot of great traits and potential and a fantastic 2019. But you do have to go back a couple of years to go find his best football. So that's where the concern lies. But you have no doubt that the talent is in there because you've seen it before. So that's kind of where I am. I was a little surprised. Well, I wasn't surprised they took Stingley because I had the intel. But just from a pure football standpoint, mm-hmm, I'm a little surprised they had him ranked higher than Ahmad Sauce Gardner.
Yeah, we were too.
We're talking to Lance Zierlein of NFL.com. Was the Jets draft as good as it seems on paper?
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, honestly, they get Sauce Gardner, who I believe is the number one cornerback in the draft. And then you get Garrett Wilson, who I think is a better prospect than Drake London, who was the first wide receiver taken. Now, Jameson Williams, the guy that I think is a better prospect than all of them, but he also is going to be limited this year because of the injury he suffered, or at least we think he is. He seems to be making his way back fairly quickly. So Garrett Wilson, another good need pick. So they got the cornerback, which was a need, the wide receiver, which was a need, and then they are able to land one of the top pass rushers in the draft that falls, and the Jets jump up and grab Jermaine Johnson, who I think should have been a play at number 10 for them. So they took care of three needs, and they took care of three needs in one round with three very good players. So I thought, yes, to answer your question, David, I thought, for me, the draft was as good as it looked.
Why did Jermaine Johnson fall so far? What happened there with him?
I think there was some personality stuff that rubbed some teams the wrong way in meetings. I had heard that a little bit at one point during the process. And that's the only thing I can think of because, you know, to be honest with you, he was a guy who really got along great with his teammates at Florida State. His football was very good. The football stuff was great. I hadn't heard anything about injuries, for example, which sometimes is kind of the secret quiet information that could cause somebody to fall. I hadn't heard anything severely, you know, character-wise to cause him to drop. So I think maybe there was just some personality clashes with some of the teams that needed pass rush, and that's probably combined with the fact that maybe there was concerns about other positions that chose, you know, that caused them to go wide receiver, for example, instead of pass rush. So he could have, you know, that could have been something that hurt him a little bit too. So I think a lot of the different things came together and ended up causing him to fall into the 20s, where frankly, I didn't think there was any way he'd fall past the middle of the first round.
Want to ask you about the Cowboys pick, Tyler Smith. I mean, the Cowboys have needs in offensive line, but Tyler Smith was not a name that was often mentioned in the first round. Was that a big reach, or do you see value with Tyler Smith?
No, I see value. I had Tyler Smith going in the first round of my last mock because he is a very talented player. He's very explosive. He's a really powerful run blocker. He's just highly undisciplined with his hands and just his technique. He had 11 holding penalties his senior season, which is, you know, he led the nation. That's just an unbelievable amount of penalties. And a lot of times, just instead of moving his feet and being disciplined, he just would give in and just grab and hold. And that's something that's got to stop. However, when you look at who he is and what he does, I think it's really great that the Dallas Cowboys put a premium on really going out there and finding somebody that could push people around. And I think if the Texans hadn't drafted Kenyon Green, I think Kenyon Green would have been a Dallas Cowboy. But the Texans drafted Kenyon Green at 15, and so they look for the next, you know, big mauler at guard who could push people around, and that was Tyler Smith. So they clearly want to get back to the roots of running the football to help Dak Prescott, and I completely endorse the move. It's also worth noting that he played left tackle at Tulsa, and I think in the future Dallas may have the opportunity to move him out to left tackle when and if it's time to move on from Tyron Smith.
Lance, let me ask you this. So the quarterbacks have been, you know, not the dynamic picks here in the first round, with Pickett being the only one taken round one. I wanted to ask you two questions. Do you like Kenny Pickett going to Pittsburgh? Is that a good fit or is that a comfort pick? And then the question I have about Matt Corral, and I have not been able to figure out what's going on. I know he's been termed as reckless. He plays very heavy RPO college style, but supposedly he's been turned around with the help of Lane Kiffin, and that sentence right there makes me super nervous. So anyway, wanted to hear your thoughts on Matt Corral, who's got Lane Kiffin helping him turn around, and then your thoughts on Pickett last night and that fit.
Well, yeah, we've only got about a minute on both these, but okay, hit us hard here.
I feel like, no problem. I feel like you were answering the question for me with Matt Corral. I think Matt Corral, there is some concerns about maturity level right now that are going to cause him to fall, but he's a talented football player. Whoever gets him may unearth a real diamond in the rough. I don't even think he's a diamond in the rough. I think they got a talented player. As far as the question about Kenny Pickett, I think it's kind of a safe pick. He's the most game-ready guy who's ready to come in. But unfortunately, I think his upside's a little limited.
Got it.
He's Lance Erline. Go read his mock on rounds 2 and 3 on NFL.com. Lance, thanks so much for joining us.
Okay, thanks, guys.
This is an NFL draft edition of The Boss and the Gloss on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Look for the silver can in stores or visit freealloil.com.
Live from Las Vegas, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Always great to speak to Lance Zierlein. He knows so much about this draft and the draft process and what a busy 24 hours he's had.
My goodness.
Clearly talking to him, I think he was comfortable with the Kenny Pickett choice to Pittsburgh. Look, Malik Willis surely has more talent. And he was impressed by the talent, at least, of Matt Corral. I mean, didn't dismiss him, right? He said, this is a guy who might really deliver for somebody. So as we enter day two.
He said he could be, I mean, he really is, the talent's there, it's just maturity.
Well, yes, and we'll see how that how he grows up coming out of Lane Kiffin's organization. But here they are, I mean, going into day two, only Pickett has been picked. So at the top of a lot of people's boards now, I think, will be Malik Willis. I mean, when we look at the best players still available at the quarterback position, I guess Malik Willis is the next one who will go off the board. And there are a lot of different destinations where that he could land. I mean, Carolina still needs a quarterback. Shoot, if I were the Washington Commanders, I wouldn't be satisfied with Carson Wentz.
Oh, goodness, no.
What's Seattle going to do? I mean, Seattle needs a quarterback.
Detroit's still looking.
Detroit could well be looking. Jared Goff is not a long-term answer there. So this landscape is still wide open. Lots of teams with needs at quarterback, and the picks haven't been made. So it'll be very intriguing to see how today unfolds. I could see almost a run of quarterbacks, much as we saw the wide receiver position. Once Drake London went and Chris Olave, you could see teams trading up, teams maneuvering to get the best wide receivers. It would not surprise me to see that in the second round or certainly by the third round of tonight's activity with the quarterbacks. Hanging out there, of course, perhaps waiting on to see where these rookie quarterbacks land, are both Baker Mayfield and Jimmy G, who are looking for homes. And there are rumors still flying about where Baker Mayfield may land. I mean, you found this rumor out there that maybe he'll land with the Texans. The Texans would want to add to the room, at least, to give another option beyond Davis Mills. I don't think the Texans are going that direction. I just feel like they are very committed to Davis Mills. And Baker Mayfield is not a quiet extra addition to a quarterback room. He comes with a lot of baggage. He comes with a lot of media coverage. You just can't ask him to come and be a number two to a still unproven and developing quarterback like Davis Mills.
No, I agree. I think what you get with Baker Mayfield is you get someone who can be a starting quarterback, obviously, but who's not going to take you all the way, at least not at this point. To me, I think Baker Mayfield lacks humility, and he needs to just put his head down and play. He spends a lot of time being disgruntled. And frankly, he hasn't really earned that. He hasn't earned that yet.
So how do you feel he fits in with, say, a Matt Rhule there in Carolina or Pete Carroll in Seattle? Are one of those teams better situated to bring him in? And coaching style, do you see a fit there? I mean, Matt Rhule, recently out of college, having run an offense like Baker ran in college, is he the fit? It's a big mystery to me.
I think Matt Rhule is the fit, and I think they're the front runner. I think there's serious talks going down today. As of yesterday, the Texans were rumored to be looking at Baker and Jimmy G. I see Jimmy G, if they wanted to bring in a veteran into that quarterback room, kind of like an Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes situation in Kansas City, doing that for Davis Mills. I think Jimmy G's the guy. You do not want Baker Mayfield.
When you talk Jimmy G, that is interesting because, of course, he has a history with Nick Caserio, the general manager of the Texans. He has a history with Nick Caserio, dates back to the Patriots when, of course, the Patriots drafted Jimmy G, had Jimmy G. He was the heir apparent to Tom Brady, but Tom kept playing and playing and playing, and so they finally felt the need to move on and trade Jimmy G and give him a chance with the 49ers. So there is that history there. And Jimmy G does slide in better as a quiet addition to the room versus the loud addition that Baker would be in just about any team environment.
Well, and he's been there, done that. He's been to the playoffs and he's been to the Super Bowl. Baker has played one playoff game and he's not been to the Super Bowl. So it's different in experience level as well.
Okay, I wanted to get to the Raiders, though. We're here in Las Vegas. This is their hometown. They, of course, gave up their first and second round draft picks to acquire Davante Adams. No regrets there. Davante Adams, one of the best wide receivers in all of the NFL, joining Derek Carr, his college teammate. It just feels right.
They're like besties. So
Raiders had a great offseason, though they're quiet here at the draft. They also added Chandler Jones and the defensive front. So
and signed Max Crosby to a long-term deal. So they've really shorted up.
Everything's right for the Raiders, but they only have one problem with the Raiders is they play in that really, really tough division. I mean, the Chargers and the Chiefs and the Broncos are all formidable. Great teams, great quarterbacks. But the Raiders made big news today. Now, this is a different regime. There was the Mike Mayock regime that drafted players several years ago with John Gruden. And the track record doesn't look so good right now. It seemed better then. But look, they
had really good then. This was in 2019. That draft looked great.
They had three first-round draft picks in that draft. And, I mean, Colin Farrell was the number four overall, and then he came back with Josh Jacobs and Abrams. So when we look at them today, the news, the Raiders have decided not to exercise the fifth-year option.
On any of those three.
On any of those three. What went wrong there? How do you assess that pool, that class? Because Josh Jacobs looked like a beast and has played at a very high level.
No, he really has. And Josh Jacobs is the one that I think, depending on how it goes this year for him, and that would be improving that offensive line to get him some run block protection. But, you know, he definitely is one that could get the fifth-year option. So he had two Pro Bowl, coming off of two Pro Bowl seasons where he had 1,150 yards, followed by over 1,000 yards. This past season, 872. Big drop-off. Big drop-off.
And they've been running him by committee, though, right? They added Kenyon Drake, which has been a nice addition. It's great to mix and match.
And Jacobs had a lot of injuries this year, too. He was beat up a lot. You know, with Clelin Ferrell, after 25 starts straight out of drafting, he did not start one game last year, not one. And he was the number four overall pick. And it was shocking when they took him number four overall. I liked him so much coming out of Clemson. He was like the jackknife. He did everything on that defensive line. But they took him too early. And the expectations were too big for him, and I don't think he could ever fill those shoes. So, and then with Jonathan Abram, you know, first game of the season, his rookie year, he landed half a game, injured his shoulder, missed the whole year, and then for the next 2 years played 28 out of 49 games because he re-injured the shoulder, had another shoulder injury. He's great against the run, an absolute liability against the pass. He's so aggressive that he's even hurt his own teammates. Plus cameraman. I mean, he is really, he's got one gear and it's full speed ahead. So by not exercising the fifth year option on these three guys right now, they're saving over $25 million in cap space, which is huge. And I just think, you know what? Credit Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels. They're taking a wait and see approach for a roster that they inherited and seeing what they're going to do. They pick next at 86, so they've got a ways to go.
I mean, you look at a Josh Jacobs, and he's a guy you'd love to have on your team, but money factor into every decision, right? And there aren't many running backs who get the big second contract. I mean, it's just hard to do that because of the lifespan of a running back. I would have thought that they would have given him the fifth year. Obviously, the year kicks in at sort of $20 million, roughly, annual salary, and that's a big number to pay. But I would have thought it's not a long-term commitment, and I would have thought maybe that would have worked.
$8 million this fifth-year hit.
Oh, would have been for him. Okay, so, I mean, of course, they've put a lot of money into Davante Adams. There's only so much money to go around, and they signed Derek Carr to an extension, and everybody feels like that was a team-friendly deal, that Carr really wanted to stay, and he's committed to the Raiders, and Josh McDaniel has certainly committed to him.
Absolutely, and bringing in his best friend and his former teammate at Fresno, you know, in Davante Adams was huge. They gave up a lot for him, but they're in a win-now mentality.
So when you look at the Raiders and they get to draft here in the third round later tonight, is there a position, a need that you'd really like to see them address?
Cornerback.
And there's some good corners in this draft still on the board.
No, there is. I really like Kobe Bryant, the cornerback out of Cincinnati. You know, Trayvon Mullen was one of their draft picks, and he's just never, he's struggled to stay healthy. He has not been what they thought he would be. So let's move on.
Hmm. So looking at who's left, sort of best player available left, N'Kobe Dean stands out. Of course, he's at
Amazing that he's, he will not be left. We're not talking about the Raiders anymore, right? Because he's not going to be there at 86.
No, sadly. Yeah, okay. He may be the guy who leaves first off the board tonight. We'll see. Of course, second round tonight, then followed by the third round. Raiders will draft in the third. But N'Kobe Dean is a guy who many had mocked to go in the first round. And he will likely go in the top three or four here in the second round. I mean, and he's... I mean, the only knock on him is he couldn't test on his pro day, and he's 5'11", so he's a little shorter than some teams like to have a linebacker. But most people, when they look at that Georgia defense...
Someone's getting a steal here.
They look at N'Kobe Dean, he was the catalyst. He was the emotional leader of that front seven, a front seven that has been so prolific here on draft day. I mean, there were five of them taken last night in the first round. And there will be N'Kobe Dean, number six. And there probably will be another safety or two coming out of that defense in tonight's draft. So great, great showing for Georgia football. And look out for N'Kobe Dean right at the top of tonight's draft. And then just looking at some of the other best players still remaining, you know, it's interesting because, of course, you have the Chiefs and the Packers who now have big gaps in their need for wide receiver. And they were, I think, poised and eager to draft. I mean, there were whispers that the Packers were hoping to trade up and get Burks, the great wide receiver out of Arkansas. But the run on wide receivers happened.
And wow. And it happened fast. Once the lid was open, once Drake London opened that lid, it just went
boom.
They were all gone. Yeah.
And there you were with both the Packers and the Chiefs at the tail end of the first round. They couldn't get into range to get one of those elite guys. But there's still some good names in this class. I mean, coming off tonight, I'm sure in the second round will be Christian Watson, the wide receiver from North Dakota State, Sky Moore from Western Michigan. These are two names that I think the Chiefs and the Packers have to be eyeing right now.
Well, absolutely. And don't forget about John Metchie out of Alabama.
Yes.
He was one of my favorite to watch last year. Wow. And Alec Pierce out of Cincinnati, don't sleep on him either. He's another one.
There's still some good edge rushers hanging around. They will be very interesting to watch how they unfold. I mean, the guy from Penn State, whose name I can never pronounce, but Arnold Abeketi, the defensive end out of Penn State. Yeah, now he's somebody, he will have to go early in the second round. He's definitely a top talent. Logan Hall out of University of Houston, another good edge rusher. And I just think we're going to see... Oh, I mean, before it's all said and done, three or four edge rushers in the second round, and we'll have two or three in the third round go off the board then. So very fun to watch. It'll be the edge rushers, the cornerbacks, and the quarterbacks that will really dominate this second round. And it was fun to see Lance Erline's mock draft of rounds two and three, and it's clear he sees these quarterbacks coming off the board pretty quickly.
Which will be exciting. I was not sure what this draft was expecting, the unexpected. Last night did not disappoint. I think this is going to make even round two even more exciting, actually.
All right, when we come back, we're going to give our final predictions for rounds two and three, tonight's draft activity. We are broadcasting live from Las Vegas. It's the Boss and the Gloss, Sports Map Radio.
It's a special NFL Draft edition of The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Look for the Silver Can in stores or visit freealloil.com.
Now, live from Las Vegas, here's David Gal
and Carla Dawson.
Okay, Carla, looking ahead to tonight, quarterbacks might dominate the story. Who's the first quarterback you see going off the board and to whom?
I see number 40, Malik Willis, going to Seattle.
Seattle has a need, absolutely. They've traded Russell Wilson. Drew Locke is the starting quarterback in Seattle. I think they need to find a quarterback.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, and so they sit there at number 40, which is, well, the first 10 picks in the second round. Yeah, that's a good fit for Malik Willis, and then that could lead to a run. I'm looking forward to seeing how that unfolds. I'm also interested, I know this may not be everyone's most exciting selection area, but... the tight end position. There was not a tight end taken last night in the first round. My beloved Cowboys really need a tight end. They've got Dalton Schultz on the franchise tag, and they don't know if they're going to lock him up long term. They need somebody. Jelani Woods would be a nice pick. I mean, Trey McBride might slip. So we'll see. Cowboys, of course, drafting in the back part of the second round, but would be very intriguing for the Cowboys to pick up a tight end.
I think that sounds great. I'm also going to tell you where the second quarterback's going.
Oh, tell me.
at number 47 to the Washington Commanders, Desmond Ridder out of Cincinnati.
Now, you heard it here first. I've not heard that. That's intriguing.
He's been quiet. I mean, it's been quiet.
Yes.
But I like him a lot. Mm-hmm. I think he's a great fit there because, as you and I noted in the break, Carson Wentz is not the answer.
No, the Commanders cannot be. It seems like they panicked at one point and said, we've got to get a quarterback. And they went thrashing about, and they cut a bad deal with the Colts. They took on that salary, and they gave up draft capital. That was a bad trade because the Colts were really looking just to unload Carson Wentz. And the Commanders went out and got him, and they cannot be satisfied. So you think he's a good fit? Ridder's a good fit there.
I think Ridder's a great fit there. And I think Carson Wentz has cost a lot of money to all the teams he's been to, Philly, Indy, and now Washington. He's an expensive guy, and he needs to be showing up a lot more than he does. So there we go.
Interestingly, looking at Lance Erline's mock draft, he has the Texans going at running back. And look, the Texans have needs all across the board. We have not seen any running backs come off the board, but he sees them taking what is arguably the best running back in the draft, Breece Hall. And he's an exceptional athlete, and he would be a great addition to the backfield of the Texans.
Yeah, that would be a great pickup.
Well, it's been fantastic to be in Vegas
with
you.
It has been. I agree.
And to get 2 days of shows here, and then we'll be back watching the draft tonight. Great, great fun. Thank you, everyone who joined us, all our guests and all the listeners. You've been listening to The Boss and the Gloss on Sports Map Radio.